pixels in the animation has now left the Mushroom Kingdom, Paizans, to enter the realm of Hyrule in episodes 16 through 20 of PETA. Join TV's Mr. Neil and TFG1 Mike as they are going through the classic, and I'm actually have my fingers in the air and making air quotes when we say classic, Legend of Zelda the Animated Series. This time around, a special guest joins the guys for the Zelda reviews. It's the famed Ender from Radio Free Cybertron and the Pullback. So tune in and help us find the pixels in the animation, which you can find on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. Excuse us, listeners.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Powers, and this is Off the Cuff, episode 38. We took a week off for some family holiday bullshit.
That's nice. Yay, family!
It's accurate.
Joining me this week, as you've already heard, is Shaunzy Brown.
Oh, even announced me before you, Danner. How does that feel?
And Shaunzy actually tipped the hand that Danner is here.
It feels like saving the best for last, bitch.
Yeah, you know what I like to do last in the morning? Shit, so that's what you are.
I'm the feeling of relief you get after you get rid of all the bad stuff. After you dump your Sean off at the pool, that's how you feel.
Oh, he doesn't get dumped like off art. The pool. He gets drowned.
All coming up art.
Are we done?
What? Yes.
Yes, I'm...
We haven't been done for 5 years, man.
All right. So, obviously, as I mentioned, we took the week off for Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Black Friday being the bigger deal, in my opinion. What have you guys been doing basically the last 2 weeks? Who wants to go first? Don't all jump
in. I'm going to say that Danner can go first.
Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying? What?
Are you serious?
I kind of spaced out.
What have you been doing the last 2 weeks?
What have I been... Something came out. Been playing PS4. That's what I've been doing. It's a PS4.
So do you hate it yet, or do you still love it?
I like it still. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think our launch titles are meh.
Shit.
At best. But
boy, they are pretty.
Yeah, they're, I mean, Knack's good. I'm enjoying it still. It's, I don't really have anything more to add from what I've said last time we talked about it.
Yeah.
I played the single player all the way through for Ghosts.
How was that? Because Mike doesn't play the single player. How was it compared to... You didn't play Black Ops or Black Ops 2, did you?
No, I've played all the Modern Warfare single players and Call of Duty 2 single.
Does it have anything to do with the other Modern Warfare games?
No.
Okay.
It's going to be...
Does Price in all ways show up, please?
It's going to be... I think it's going to be its own thing because it ended on a cliffhanger. So it definitely opened itself up to for there to be a Ghost 2. I'm assuming they'll do the what they've done this console generation, like we'll get the Treyarch one next, and then we'll get Ghost 2 in 2 years, is my guess. I just don't know what the Treyarch franchise will be. I doubt it'll be Blobs 3.
I don't know. I like the story from Black Ops and Black Ops 2.
It's becoming more and more Michael Bay style
action-packed
game. The end sequence is ridiculous. There is a fight on a train, on a suspended car train, and all the cars swing independently, and it is just absolutely ridiculous. Like, it is the most dizzying, vomit-inducing level I think I've ever played in a game, and it's awesome.
Now play it with the Oculus Rift.
Oh, God. If it was in 3D, I would have puked all over my living room.
I thought he was going to say puke all over his erection.
I would have joy vomited all over the place. It's cool. The tank levels were badass in that game. The tank levels were a lot of fun. I had more fun, I think, with that stuff than anything else. But I thought the story was pretty solid. But it's short. I mean, it's... But, I mean, comparatively to the amount of time we sink into multiplayer, the single player is always super, super short. That was fun. I started playing the Battlefield 4 single player also, and that is just gorgeous.
Can I actually want to talk about that, because I've seen a little bit of the single player for Ghost, because on launch Jason was over here playing it, because I can't play those games, but we were more or less drinking beer and just Mystery Science Theater. Well, it's because
you can't sit in one spot and play
that. That's not single player. No, that's not the issue. Come on, give me a little more credit than that. I just can't. I don't really care for them. That's not why I buy the Call of Duty games. But you know, Jason and I were sitting there BSing with the game, and we switched over to Battlefield 4, and that was like, that's like night and day.
Yeah, no, it's like Pixar versus Fox Animation Studio.
I would say it's like Toy Story meets WALL-E.
Okay.
Who says it like that, WALL-E? It's WALL-E.
Whatever. It doesn't really matter how you pronounce it. I think it's that type of a difference, because obviously Toy Story is their first one, and you know, it still looks good, and they chose to animate toys because, you know, everything will look like plastic, and there's this photorealism to the first half of WALL-E that is, you know, amazing. I think it's that, to me, it's kind of that same type of thing.
I played Ghost single player first, and I was like, everything looks really good in the game. It is a beautiful looking game. And then I played Battlefield 4, and I'm just like, oh my God. Like, the detail is just stupid in the levels. Just stupid ridiculous. Like,
why would I need to be able to see this much detail, but still it's appreciated?
Yes. Exactly. And it's one of those things that I'm just like, all I keep thinking is like, this is the first go at it on the PS4. I'm like, if this is like the pinnacle of the starting position,
what's it gonna be like, crap, one or two games down the road?
Okay, yeah. No, I have to look at it. I look at it that way. I look at it as the same way, like, this is the starting position, but I look at it like a slightly different way, where it's like, this is the starting position for a third party title.
Yeah,
like, what is
thinking is, what is Second Son gonna look like? That's all I keep thinking.
Second Son, I keep thinking about that, but there was a moment when you and I tried to play Battlefield 4 together in a multiplayer match, and there was no one playing, and so we were on a server by ourselves. And I remember I had to go let my dog out, and I was like crouched in this bush. I was just watching you drive a tank around shooting stuff. And the generation that we just left, if you're sitting in a bush, that it's not really a bush, it's more of a green blob with things that look like leaves on them.
With the second you get close to them, you see pixelated leaves.
Exactly. That and that didn't happen. Like, I thought I was looking at, obviously I know I'm looking at a game, but it looked like someone took a snapshot of an actual leaf, and it didn't matter how close I got to it. Actually, the closer I got to it, the more detail was present. Like, you could see like the veins in the leaf, and there might have even been like a little bit of translucency to the leaves from the sun. Nice. And work. I was just, and like
that, and that was ridiculous. The online portion of the game.
And I was thinking, I saw that, and all I could think about is, what is Uncharted going to look like?
Oh, yeah. I can't even fathom what that's going to look like.
Like, my face is melting trying to think of what Uncharted is going to look like. I don't know what's going to happen when I actually see Uncharted.
Remember, Mike, if it lasts for more than 4 hours, you have to go to the hospital.
Okay. that can't be true. It's been at least six.
Side note, though, and then I'll let Danner go back to talking about Battlefield 4.
I forgot it was Danner's turn to talk.
Well, this Friday, I actually purchased the camera for the PlayStation 4, and Jason's coming back over, and we're going to have beer and live stream some Call of Duty and some Battlefield 4 for people.
Off the cuff, Dickeligerent streaming.
Dickeligerent, yay!
Okay, now, tell me. The only purpose of that is just to be able to show yourself while you're streaming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people want to see that, though. Like, I think there's more...
kind of like when you're watching people Twitch and you can see their faces.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Danner, go back to Battlefield 4.
So, yeah. Battlefield's just beautiful. Just...
dumb.
Dumb beautiful. Like, I can't get over how much detail is in that
game. I've always thought they were between that and Call of Duty, that was always the prettier game. Well,
and the thing is that the story is actually, like, the first 10 minutes in the Battlefield 3 story, I'm just like, this is dumb. I'm shutting it off. I couldn't get into it. And, like, they got me from the get-go on Battlefield 4. It starts off with, crap. It starts with Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah.
It's just black. Total Eclipse of the Heart's playing, and it starts with the four of them underwater, trapped in the car.
I think this video's been out. I think they showed this video.
They did
show it. Of the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah. And seeing the video online, it does absolutely nothing for... does no justice to how good that game looks.
Yeah, that goes back to what some people like Arthur Geese and some other people in the gaming industry that were able to actually see the next gen stuff before any of us were. That just goes back to what they were saying, which is no matter how good the stream looks of whatever it is that you're watching, it just looks way better in person. And for like a little while, I didn't know if that was going to be possible, but no, I assure you it is.
Oh, no. Yeah, it is, because, man, it is just
also gorgeous. While Battlefield has always been the better looking of the two, of like Call of Duty and Battlefield, when the game is running at 60 frames a second, it's an entirely different story.
Yeah.
Which the Battlefield has never run at 60 frames a second on the 360 or the PS3. So,
well, yeah, because there's so much crap going on, I can't keep up with it.
And the best way I can describe Battlefield 4 storyline so far, it's a good blend of, it's Battlefield 3, but it has those elements that were missing from Bad Company. Okay. So it's got a little bit of that, and it's a little more
so this is if
storyline.
Bad Company and 3 had a baby.
Yeah, it's like a more serious version of Bad Company, but it doesn't, I don't know, it just has, I don't know, it's, the story just feels better than it has in the past.
Now let's talk about the bad side of Battlefield 4.
The online.
It's broken. It's
broken, and they're still working to fix it, and they still have it, and it's not just a PlayStation 4 problem, it's an Xbox One problem, it's just not working on either next gen system.
Hey man, feature parity. We finally have it. Yay.
So that is, yeah. Plus side for Battlefield 4. Looks amazing. Story mode's really good. Multiplayer's completely broken, which is the majority of the reason why you buy the game in the first place. I know they're working on it. They're going to patch it. It's probably going to be completely playable in about a month, but you would hope it would have been a lot sooner, because, man, as pissed off as I was with a double XP this weekend on Call of Duty, I would have totally jumped over to Battlefield if I knew they had fixed the issues, because I was getting pissed.
I would be interested. I would be interested to play Battlefield 4 with somebody else, that has the same playstyle that I do, because there's the sniping in Battlefield 4 is way more involved than it is in Call of Duty. You have to compensate for bullet drop.
Yeah.
And I think the way that they made it kind of easy is that they give you a rangefinder, and then you can zero out the scope for that range, and thereby the bullet drop is taken out of the equation for you. You just have to set the scope up the right way.
Yeah, but it only as long as something's at that distance.
Right. And that's why I think it would be interesting to play Battlefield 4 with somebody that had like the same mindset I did, where you could do like a proper sniping team where it's like you have a spotter and a sniper. And that way, like, you don't have to, I wouldn't have to switch between like the rangefinder and my scope to like dial it in.
I'll be your spotter, Mike.
You don't have to do that. I'm just saying, like, I think it would be really interesting.
I'm already doing the support class, which is the medic. What the hell else am I going to do?
Heal people? I don't know.
Exactly. I can be your spotter and throw you health packets that you won't need because it'll be far, far away from combat.
But no, that's.
But does every class have the rangefinder?
I don't know. Maybe you can equip the rangefinder. I know
it depends on
the D-pad.
Yeah.
To get the rangefinder. But that was one of the neater things that I found.
And how powerful are, because I mean, like, if you're taking all this time to do a shot, is it you have to get like, how accurate does your shot have to be on the body to
kill
them? I
think it's two shots and they're dead with the sniper rifle.
Okay, because it used to be in three, if you're using like the high powered single shot ones, anything center chest or head was an instant kill, obviously.
Well, I'm going to be completely honest with you, because the game is rather as big as those maps are in multiplayer, they are very frantic.
People are moving constantly. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very hard.
No one sits still.
It was very hard to find like another sniper or somebody like on a mounted turret. So it's I'm not entirely sure how accurate my shots were. I think I was actually, if I'm being completely honest, I think I was actually only able to kill like three people with the sniper rifle in like the five matches I played.
Those are really good for
what?
Oh, what's the mode? Rush, where they have to stay in a certain area. Where they're trying to protect an area.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah, it's unlike Conquest, it's harder because you could be set up on one and they could go to four other things, never even come to yours. But on Rush, you have to go to a certain area and they have to defend that exact area.
Right.
So you know there will be guys there.
I will say this, though. It doesn't feel like as much of a PC game as Battlefield 3 did to me.
It seems a little bit more like a hybrid. It just seems to lend itself a little bit better to the console this time around.
Yeah, I will say that. I don't know what that could be, if I'm being completely honest. I just know that
it could be how incredibly sexy the PS4 controller just feels in your hands.
That's true too. It's a very nice controller.
It's pretty.
So, any other PS4 games you've been playing?
I finally cracked open Killzone and started playing that.
And I've heard such mixed things about that.
Here's what I will say about Killzone. Killzone is very, very pretty. It also has the most ridiculously complicated controller setup that I've ever used in a game.
Is that because it uses the touchpad?
It uses the touchpad, but okay, here's my issue. You have an owl, which is like your personal drone that kind of helps you as a shadow trooper. It helps you in the field. With the touchpad, you swipe up and it attacks. You swipe to the right, it does a grapple, so you can like rappel down to rappel from a higher place down to a lower place. You can use it to heal you, and you can use it for a shield, and it all involves swiping up, down, left, right, just depending on which mode you want to use. The thing I hate, you swipe and then you have to hit L1 to accept that command. So it's like an extra unnecessary step, I feel. I feel like you should just be able to swipe on the touchpad and that should be it.
Yeah, because it's not like you're accidentally going to hit the touchpad.
Well,
that was it. Here's front touchpad or back touchpad?
Front touchpad. Okay. So here's the insane part of it. I'm being attacked by four guys at once. I am shooting and focusing my gun with my R2 and my L2. So I can, you know, zoom in with my L2, fire with my R2. I'm trying to swipe my pad to get my owl to do the commands, and I'm trying to hit L1, and I'm trying to throw a grenade with my R1, and it's just like, oh,
all the time while trying to solve cold fusion.
All the time. It is so, it's like you have to anticipate what you want to do with your owl before you even engage an enemy. And if you try to use your owl while you're in the middle of engaging the enemy, you're fucked. You can't shoot and operate the owl and accept the commands and do everything. It's like such a learning curve for the controls for the game. I'm sure once I get the controls down, it'll be easier, but it is just like there's so much shit going on with that controller and that game. And I've also never played a Killzone game before. This is the first
Killzone game. Killzone has different controls than other first
person shooters. And that's what people have explained to me that I've talked to about it, is they said that Killzone always has a complicated control structure. It always has.
Unnecessarily, I'll say. But the guns sound perfect.
Unnecessary. The guns are amazing in that game, though. They're so much fun. And there's like secondary fire options to a lot of the guns. One of the guns is, it kind of looks like a rail gun. It's like a pulse blast rifle. But then it has a thing where the you hit one of the buttons and the barrel of the gun extends and it turns into this giant pulse blast sniper rifle that you have to charge the shots in order to shoot. And it's a bitch to get lined up, but if you hit somebody with it, it just knocks their ass flat. And it's another one of those games, like the draw distance of that game is just ridiculous. I've only gotten about an hour and a half in, but it's a huge learning curve on the controls. That's my biggest knock against the game, is it's not a game you're going to get used to the controls right away. I'm sure if you're familiar with Killzone and you like Killzone, probably the complicated control structure isn't going to hamper you as much. But I would definitely say don't get cocky and try it on hard mode right away, because you will regret it immediately. It's definitely one of those games you kind of want to ease your way into it.
Play through a couple playthroughs.
Yeah, you definitely need to get used to the control first on it. So that has been my PS4 playing. But I also downloaded a few games for Vita.
Tearaway.
Because Tearaway came out. And Tearaway is awesome.
Sell me on Tearaway.
Tearaway is pure sunshine in a bottle.
Pierce. Okay, then.
Sounds hot.
It's, for those that don't know, Tearaway is Media Molecule's new game. They're the gentlemen and gals that brought us Little Big Planet. Tearaway is a paper craft game. Everything in the world's made out of construction paper. And you as the player are God in this universe. There is a message they're trying to send to you, the player, God. And the message takes form as the main character. So the envelope turns into, I want to say Iwata is his name. It's Iota and Iwata, I believe, because you could choose if it's a male or a female. So you get the option of what your character looks like. And then every time they peer up at the sun, your picture The camera's constantly on, so anytime you look at the sky, you see your own face in the sun at all times. You also choose your skin tone in the game, because there's times in the game where, like, there's jump pads and stuff like that, and you hit the back of your Vita to activate the jump pads. There's also spots where enemies come in, and you actually poke your fingers through the back of the system, where it looks like it pokes through the back of the system. That's the reason you choose your skin color. So your fingers actually poke through the floor of the world and take out the enemies, so your guy doesn't get killed. It's
not weird at all.
No, it's incredibly weird. And that's what's so charming about the game, is how bizarre and how incredibly interactive the game is. It's probably the most use of all the features of the Vita I've seen, but it's not overwhelming. They're constantly introducing new facets of gameplay throughout the entire game. They don't just use stuff over and over and over and over again. Like, even up until like the last 20, 30 minutes, they're still introducing new stuff in the game. It's just very, very well thought out, really interesting game, and just a blast to play. The other interactive elements they have is, like, you have a camera in the game, and you'll find things in the world that have no pigment or color to them. And if you take a picture of them, they gain their color back in the world. But then you also unlock a paper craft. And then that paper craft goes to a website that you have. And every one of these paper crafts you actually unlock in the game unlocks in this website through your Media Molecule account. And then you go on the website and you have papercraft instructions that you can print off of any of the characters in the game. So then you can actually create 3D papercrafts of anything you've unlocked in the game in the real world, which I thought was an interesting, kind of fun, quirky element to the game. Also, the customization in the game is ridiculous. I've seen many, many pictures online where you can go in and take pieces of cardboard, pieces of construction paper in the game, and then cut them up and design them however you want, and then place them on your Iwata. And some of the cool ones I've seen online is I saw somebody who actually cut out all the pieces to make a Wolverine and place them all on the character, so it looks like Wolverine's running around the game. And there's just some crazy, crazy stuff you can do, and it's crazy customization like you get in Little Big Planet. It's one of those things that if you take the time and want to put the time
in, like, who had the creativity to make this?
It's just endless. Whatever you want the game to be, you can make it. It's so, I mean, if you're in the Little Big Planet, it's like a structured version of Little Big Planet, but with paper and in more of an artsy type of a game. It's like, I'd love to get Joe to play the game.
See, I'm kind of bummed Joe's not here, because I'm tossing around two portable, the idea of purchasing one of two portable games, but, you know, I'll probably end up buying both. One of them was Tearaway, but I'm also mildly interested in A Link Between Worlds. So I wish Joe could have been here to
talk you into it. Yes. You should be here next week. So
better be.
So Tearaway is fantastic. If you have a Vita, it's definitely a purchase. It's definitely something every Vita owner, I feel, should own. If you absolutely hate Little Big Planet, and it's not a game you've ever liked, or you've played the game and you just hate it,
then what the fuck? What is wrong with you?
then you won't. Yeah, I don't think you would like. I don't think you would like Tearaway.
You have no soul.
Yeah, and you have no soul, because if you can't find joy in Little Big Planet, then there's something wrong with you.
Especially going through the vagina level.
Exactly, because the vagina level is awesome. The other game I picked up for Vita is, I picked up Blackgate, which I know you've talked about. And I have not put very much time into it, but I've only done like the intro level so far. I just got to the prison.
Okay.
And gotta say, it is way prettier than I thought it was gonna be.
Right?
I know, it's gorgeous. I was very surprised.
I did not know you got Blackgate. That makes me happy.
I got it for $20.
Good for you.
I'm very pleased with it so far. I'm excited to play through it because I enjoyed Origins, even though the ending was kind of a meh, but I'm liking it, so I'm looking forward to playing through that. And on top of the fact that Soul Sacrifice just went free to play, which I'm also have downloaded, and I just started playing Hotline Miami also, which is an incredibly gory puzzle game. That's the best way I can describe it.
You know, I really want to start using my Vita more, and I've used the remote link on the PS4 remote link for it a couple times, and I just bought a bigger memory card for it too. So maybe that'll make me go and use it.
I do want to point out that remote play with PS4 is okay. But whatever you do, do not use your Vita to remote play multiplayer online of Call of Duty Ghosts, because you will die a lot.
I can see that just from...
Holy shit.
I can see that just from the limited number of buttons.
The limited number of buttons, because a lot of your melee... I noticed that your melee gets connected to your touchscreen on the back, but it's... The buttons, the touch buttons on the back, let me gather my thoughts. The touch screen on the back gets divided up into four touch buttons, essentially. Mm-hmm. In order to execute, there's four quadrants. It's upper left, upper right, lower right. In order to execute the buttons, you have to tap from lower to upper in order to activate like melee. So if I go from the bottom, essentially you have to swipe up and you have to hit both sections. So it's essentially so you don't accidentally touch the back of your system and only hit it in one spot and accidentally do something. It has to be
purposeful. People accidentally knife all the time.
I know, but it's so you don't have those accidental moves. You have to I definitely in Battlefield 4 that was how they had it divided up with the melees, is you had to swipe the bottom and up into the top quadrant in order to activate those buttons in the back. I got killed so quickly in Ghost when I was trying to play because the screen is, there's just so much information on such a tiny screen and it's so hard to see people that I was just, oh, it was bad. It was, oh god, I got just raped. Terrible.
I've enjoyed Resogun and
Need for Speed, awesome. And
Need for Speed Rivals on the Vita, like the cross with the remote play.
Yeah.
So, or anything else you want to add?
Oh god, no. I couldn't possibly talk about anything else.
All right, Shaunzy.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Oh, really. Crap, I didn't even talk about Assassin's Creed.
Now you guys... I wasn't going to bring it up because I figured I was going to talk about it, so you'd chime in when I was talking about it.
I'll chime in when you talk about it.
Because as far as I am aware, the only difference between the current gen and the next gen is the graphics and smaller load times, correct? There's no features that are different that I'm aware of.
Except for the fact that the map is completely touchscreen, with the touchpad on the PS4, I can use that to navigate my map and then click on it to set my markers on my map.
I do it through the companion app. So
yeah, you do the same thing on the companion app. So yeah. You could just do it on the PS4 controller instead of doing it on the app.
Well, I don't have to bring up the map; it's always out.
I don't have to bring up the map. It's always up.
I've heard about people disabling the HUD and having it just display on a tablet while they play.
Yeah. Well, I haven't done that. I haven't gotten rid of the whole thing. But, like, especially, like, when I'm on the ocean, I hate pausing to look at the map to see where I have to go.
Yeah.
But so I can just do it, which is cool, which is one of my favorite companion apps to go with a video game so far, easily.
Now, I've seen
instantaneous.
I've seen the first 20 minutes of Assassin's Creed 4. Like, I know the first little twist that happens.
What, like, are we gonna like spoiler alert this, or
I don't want to spoil
it's very at the very beginning.
Wait, wait, are you talking how he's not an assassin?
Yes,
that's a huge.
That's only the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. That's only the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's. But I hate how they use that as an excuse to get rid of the calling an assassin's mechanic, which I loved doing that. Looking at a guard at a distance and hitting LB and just having a guy jump at him. I miss that so much. I used to have so much fun with that.
Nah.
You weren't using it right if you weren't having fun, sir. Because there was nothing funnier than looking at one guy and hitting LB so fast that 8 assassins come out of nowhere.
That sounds like you're blowing your load all at once, to be quite honest. But
how else do you blow your load? Little by little? Be a man, okay?
He dribbles.
He dribbles, yeah. We've proven this.
I'll leave him wanting more.
Yeah, Tanner, I'm sure they always want more when they're
dribbling. They always want more.
It's because they haven't had enough. But I've been having a lot of fun. Just, I don't know if you can speak to this. I have fun just screwing around the boat. I forget that I'm doing missions all the time.
It sounds like
it's devolved into something else for me, because it, when you first start out, you're in Havana and it feels so much like an Assassin's game, even though you're essentially this imposter. And then when the story elements start to drop and then the main motivation of what's going on in the story happens, I'm just like, okay, I can get behind this. But the moment I get into the
unassassiny assassins game,
I have put all of the money I have earned in the game so far directly into my ship. I've done nothing for Kenway himself, and I literally have just gotten to the point, any boat I come across, I don't care what they have, I'm destroying them.
The only ones I have to stop and take pause for a second is Man of War's. I do have to think about them, how I'm going to attack them. I can't just run straight at them. Then I got to think, I should soften them up with mortars first before I get in.
I was going to say, any of the level 1 or level 4 ships, all I literally do is steer directly towards them and then
run into them.
Over them.
Oh my God. Wait till you get the. Have you gotten any of the elite upgrades yet?
Not yet.
When you have the ram and the elite hull, if you ram into a boat, you take 0 damage. Nice. Doesn't matter how big the boat is. You can run in the side. Oh, it's so good. Those little boat. Like, I was trying to. I wanted to capture a gunboat just because. I don't know if it's possible because I killed them too quick. I can't. For anyone not that hasn't played it, in order to capture a boat, you damage it enough to. It has, like, its life bar and a little part of its red. Once you get the damage down to the red, the boat's dead in the water. It can't move. It can't fight back. And you're allowed to board it.
I've gotten so good with the swivel gun that I haven't actually boarded a ship in days.
Yeah, if it depends on what the objectives it gives you. When you get some of the bigger ships, it changes them. Sometimes it'll be like, oh, you have to destroy the flag, so you kind of have to go over there.
Okay.
Sometimes it'll tell you to just kill so many guys. Like the smaller boats, it's like kill 5 guys. Those I can usually 2 or 3 swivel gun shots, and they're done.
Just aim for the powder keg.
Exactly. Or you aim for right behind the first mast of the floor. That's where they spawn from.
Yep.
Just a 1 or 2 shots there usually gets 5 guys. But sometimes it'll give you random things like, oh, you have to kill the captain. You have to kill these 2 officers. It makes you destroy the powder kegs. It makes you destroy the flag. It makes you kill the marksman that'll be up on the top of their masts.
Now, I'm interested to see what you think of this, because one of the guys I follow on Twitter made a comment today about how he feels that Kenway is probably has the least amount of personality out of any assassin since Altair. Which
I don't think that he has no personality. I don't think that's what it is. I think his motives are so straight forward and blunt.
Yeah,
he has no ulterior motives. Everything he's doing is for the exact same effect. I'm a pirate. I want money.
I'm a pirate. I want money, and I want to protect my fellow pirate.
Yeah, exactly. He's not. It's not. I'm trying to save the world. Fuck the world. Don't care. Can I have money?
10 minutes into this game, I was like, God, I like him so much more than I like Connor.
Oh, way, way more.
Way more.
Oh yeah.
Like this. Like as soon as I got out of Havana and got into a ship, every bad feeling I had about Assassin's 3 was washed away.
Oh yeah, this is an amazing, and I'm gonna say it again. I called this game way back when we played 3, when I said they need to make the next one Pirates and Assassins. And they announced Black Flag. I'm like, I want royalties. I want all the monies. But I don't know if you've had the same experience. He doesn't feel as graceful in combat. I don't know if that was done on purpose.
He doesn't feel as graceful when he's traversing terrain either, because
I don't know if that's done on purpose or not. Them saying he's not as nimble. He is an assassin. He's just doing this stuff. It's kind of like the one mission where it's like, it tells you, show us some of your assassin skills. Well, which I thought was really funny. Like, okay.
Well, if you stand around long enough, they will tell you what they're expecting you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, why don't you show us what happens if you run at the guy and stab him? And he's like, okay.
Yeah, that entire sequence was pretty funny.
But I'm having a huge amount of fun with the game. And I'm not having the same issue that I was with Connor. With Connor, as soon as I got the assassin tomahawk,
which I never switched weapons.
Yeah, I never switched weapons. This game, I find myself going for the hidden blades, to the blowpipe, to the dual swords, and I so want to get the gun blades. Oh, so bad.
I know, the gun blades look badass.
Have you seen any of the videos of the takedowns or whatever with them?
Don't want to see them. I want to experience it for myself.
I saw like two of them and I stopped it. I'm like, no, that's awesome. The only way to get them is to complete every assassin's contract in the game.
I haven't even, which sucks because I've already blown one of the contracts.
You can go back and do them.
Yeah.
If you fuck it up and the guy runs away, you just like have to wait a day and come back.
I didn't fuck it up. I accidentally blew up his ship that he was on. I was supposed to wait for him to get off at the plantation.
Oh, yeah. You just have to wait for it to reset. Counts as a failure. You just have to wait for it to reset.
Sons of bitches. I haven't even gotten far enough in the storyline to actually get the blowgun yet.
The blowgun is fun. You get two kinds of darts with it. You get, if anybody's watching the videos, you get berserker darts, which think of poison from Assassin's 2.
It enrages. The blowgun is something from Liberation.
I didn't put Liberation. Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's poison darts, and then there's these enraging darts, which basically make the guy go crazy, and he kills everybody who's around him, typically.
Yeah, and then after a timer goes up, he dies.
Yep.
And then there's also sleeping darts, which is an interesting new mechanic of a long distance non-lethal takedowns. Because when you hit him, he goes dozy for a second and falls asleep.
It doesn't seem very piratey to make people go to sleep.
No, but then you can walk up to him and there's a timer and you can hit X sort of to knock him out. You basically just kick him in the side of the head and knocks him out. But he's still alive. I find myself so many times kicking him again just to kill him. I don't have to. He's not getting back up. But I'm going to do it anyways. And probably the swords, the dual cutlasses, has some of the most gruesome finishers I've ever seen. I don't know how many times I've stabbed dudes to the face. It's so messed up.
It's been pretty awesome, though.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely awesome. But it's like there's times where it's like, oh, that guy really, oh, I probably could have just made friends with him. But, oh, well, stabby, stab, stab. And have you gotten to the part where you can actually recruit ships?
Nope, not yet.
That's also amazing. Ships, whenever you're attacking a ship, any ship you can just look at when you're on your boat, and I'm like, I'll attack that one. And it's always better to board it than to destroy it, because you get way more resources, which are actually important in the game. They made the economic stuff work out so much better. That it's not like in the third one. It's like, we got to build a naval. You got to build a convoy. Then you got to film stuff. You have to send it here. You have to go protect it. It's not like that at all. It's more like sending assassins to do contracts. It's real simple. You have two mechanics when you go into your fleet. You can battle in an area to make that area safer for your boats. And then you can send them on trade runs. And it actually depends on what – like if you send a big heavily armored ship, it can carry way more product, but it goes slower. In the actual in-game timer, which can be several hours in the real world, will get bigger if you use a bigger ship that's slower. And if you use a small quick ship, you can only use it on some missions because its carrying capacity is really low, but it can get it done faster. So, and once you send it on a mission, you can't use that to then attack and make a different area safe because it's gone. And there's no way to cancel it once it's gone on a trade run. That ship is gone for however long it takes it. And the way you get these ships is when you board a ship, you're given three options. You can either destroy the ship and use it to repair your own ship, which is the first option.
Then the second option is to
lower your wanted level, because you have like it looks like two cutlasses crossed, like basically the bottom part of a Jolly Roger, simple, just the two cutlasses. And when that it slowly fills up red as you attack more and more boats, you know, as you pirate more. Once it fills up, ships will actively start hunting you. They will go out of their way. Like, if you can't hide anywhere, they will come for you.
There's pirate hunter class ships.
Yeah, they're fast. I don't know if they're faster than you, but they're pretty fast. They're not easy to outrun. They're not particularly powerful, but sometimes if they'll come in like twos, which it makes it a little trickier. You got to pay more attention to what you're doing. So you can use it when you board a ship. You can use it to. You basically, I'm not sure what it is. It's like you're telling him, you're making friends, you're making nice with whoever the captain was, and he's making the I don't know what you want to call it, negative awareness go away.
Yeah.
And the third,
you're bringing them on to join your crew is what you're doing. So you're the survivors.
Yeah, but well, you always take the survivors. You always take people. But it's like this one, you let the ship go, kind of. You're like, hey, we're not going to kill you. But you don't say shit to anybody, kind of thing. We're taking your cargo, but whatever. You're going to live. And the third option is the ship becomes your own. You send it off to your fleet, and you grow your ranks. And you can look at the ship and see what level it is, and that's exactly the ship you're going to get in your fleet. And you can replace ships at any time, so it's not like, oh, I got this shitty ship at the beginning of the game. I want a better one. You can always replace it and get rid of it. But it's just – it's really cool to be like, oh, that ship's so badass. I want it to be mine. Although I haven't tried taking on the legendary ships yet because those things fucking look hard. In the world, there's – in each corner – in the corners of the map, in the two – or the four corners, there's legendary ships. I don't know if they probably are actual historical ships. I don't know.
I haven't even seen one yet.
They're all more armored than you. I ran into one, and as soon as it happened, the entire map filled with fog. So I couldn't see. So I was like, Jesus, I'm running. I just left. Because I was down on health. There was no way for me to heal. There's no ships around me to attack so I could get my health up. So I just ran.
Sometimes that's the only thing you can do.
That's like, I was freaked out. I didn't have any of my special ammo types. I didn't have any mortars. I didn't have any heavy shot. I didn't have any fire barrels, nothing. I was like, if I attacked him, I would have died. And I forget, you get something for killing all of them. I forget what it is. You get a huge chunk of money, first of all. You can't capture the ship. If your actual character, your boat can hit the ship, whatever, but if your actual character touches the ship, you die instantly. There's no way to board the ship. But yeah, they're like these huge hulking, they're basically like four boss fights in the water spread around.
They're like the they sound like the oh, help me out here, Danner. Final Fantasy VII. The ultimate weapons?
The weapons?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's essentially what they are. They're different. They have different play styles. Like, I guess there's one that it's really fast. So what it'll try to do is as soon as it sees you, it'll turn around and try to book it. So that you have to get like close enough to hit it to with your chain shot, which is your – you can shoot forwards. You couldn't do that in the last – on the water with the last
– eventually you get the rear cannons as well too. I haven't unlocked them yet, but
– I've seen
ships with rear cannons.
Other ships do, certainly, but I don't think we can.
Oh,
I don't think the Jackdaw can.
There's got to be a way.
Just use the mortars, dude. You can
There's
shoot them
in
any direction.
There's got to be a way to fire out your ass.
It's called Taco Bell, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's – this is easily the most fun I've had with Assassins since probably Brotherhood. And the non-game stuff is actually kind of cool. The non-in the simulation stuff. It's different. I mean, I don't know if that Danner played – you've played Liberation. Is it more like the stuff from Liberation?
There was no out-of-game thing in Liberation.
Oh, okay. Well, it's – you're a designer that works for Animus Studios or whatever.
You're a game tester working at – yeah.
Developing a pirate game.
Yawn.
Which it's actually – and you – it's first person, so you're just nameless drone. And you can go around hacking everybody's terminals and find out pieces of what's going on. And – within like 3 seconds of you actually doing that part of the game, you walk up and you see a courier dropping off a package, and you see somebody working at like a some kind of food stand. And the dude working at the food stand is the English speaking guy from Desmond's team, and the courier is the little Asian chick who does all the tech stuff. I don't know if they come back later in the game or not.
But I'm assuming there's a much deeper thing going on, and
yeah.
That whole thing. That's what I'm interested to find out.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of – it's interesting. It's definitely refreshing.
Were you playing the game yesterday?
Was I playing yesterday? No, why?
Because they had the scroll at the bottom saying that today is the anniversary of the day that Desmond Miles sacrificed himself for humanity.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
Which I thought that was kind of neat.
It's kind of cool that it's – well, I'm assuming that's only to people that have internet connection and Uplay accounts.
Well, yeah.
If you don't have the internet, you can't do the
– Uplay stuff.
The Uplay stuff. And I don't think you can do the Kenway's fleet either.
No, you can't.
Yeah, that's only online, which is kind of weird.
Meh.
If me and Dan were playing on the same system, I could see his boats and make his boats speed up and heal his boats for him. Ooh. While they're doing their runs. But we're not, because you suck.
You're the one who sucks.
I was going to say, I beg to differ. You're the one who sucks.
Yeah, but I get paid decent money to do it, so.
Then why can't you afford a PlayStation 4?
Oh, shut up. So I've been doing that. I've been playing more GTA 5 online stuff. Still waiting for goddamn heists. Oh, that's so annoying. And I finally beat... It took me forever, but I finally beat Diablo 3. God, that took me forever.
Ellie and I have sidelined that as we wait for the PS4 version because we found out that they're going to allow you to import your character.
That's cool. Plus, I don't know if it comes with it by default, but doesn't it that it's going to have the expansion, right?
Yep.
I don't know if that's like a different version. If there's a Diablo 3 and a Diablo 3 Awakening, I can't remember what it's called.
No, it's going to be like there's like called like Ultimate collector's edition or ultimate dungeon or some weird ultimate edition. Yeah. And it has the game and the expansion. And
that's cool.
Some of the other neat things is they've promised 1080p and 60 frames a second. So it should look a lot better than it did.
But yeah, that was fun. It was very triumphant. What a feeling at the end. I don't know. It's just weird. Like I had a moment at the end where I was like, yeah, I got him.
All right.
So what have you been doing?
Well, like Danner, I have been playing with my PlayStation 4.
That's his nickname for his penis, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it is. I will admit, also, I agree with Danner that the launch games for the PS4 have been, or they've left me kind of wanting. But I don't know that I kind of came to the realization the other day that I'm a little more bummed about Watch Dogs missing the launch window than I thought I would be.
That's what's kind of put me, my ass in gear, if you will, from getting a PlayStation.
That's completely understandable. My wife and I own Assassin's Creed 4. She's just playing it right now, and I refuse to play it until she's done with it. But what that leaves me with is three games that have a very heavy online component. And if I'm not playing them online, like if I'm not playing online with like friends, I don't really care to play. And so then I sit there going, man, I should really just play something. I bought this thing. I should just play something. And then I sit down to play it and I don't have as much fun as when I sit down and actually play like Ghosts or something like that with Danner. There isn't that single player game that I can actually sink my teeth into. And I really wish Watch Dogs had been a launch title. And I know what makes me really sad is I don't think there will be anything like that until March, with Second Son. But you know, I'm enjoying it. I feel like I've noticed in the comments, there aren't a whole lot of, there don't seem to be a whole lot of PC evangelists in our comments. Which makes it kind of a lot easier to talk about console gaming in general. But I will say there's a lot of stuff that I'm regularly impressed by what the PS4 can do just from like a software hardware standpoint that I think we said it in the last episode, like in the Giant Size episode. It's like there's things that you don't realize or missing until you actually like have them. I thought for the longest time, that the 360 and the PS3, I thought they were great. And I thought that they were pretty, that they were fairly snappy and all this other stuff. And that, you know, that was just how it was. But this current generation just completely opens up your eyes to how things should be. Especially like going forward, like, what was it the other day? We were playing Ghosts and for some reason, it all of a sudden decided to prompt us that we didn't have the map pack installed. Mm-hmm. So Danner and I, you know, you hit the guide button, you pop out to the dashboard, you hop into the store, you go and find the content, the map pack to download it. You start downloading it, you jump back in the game, and it doesn't stop the download in the background. And the game never stopped running while we jumped out and went to the store and said, download this. And as soon as it was done, you got the notification that says it's done. And then you got another notification that says it was installed. Now, I don't know if we could have kept playing the game and the map would have just come into rotation. So we just kind of, as soon as we got those notifications, we quit out to the dashboard and
just from default.
Yeah. And went back in.
That's how you've played forever.
Yeah. So I don't know if the map would have come into rotation that way, but just that simple act of being able to go do something else while a game is running, it still kind of blows my mind a little bit that kind of stuff can do that stuff now. And
my only fear is this going to shorten the lifespan of the system?
No, because it's all software based. It's just stuff. It's not like it's not extra wear on the hardware. It's not like the CD drives constantly spinning or anything like that. It's just like you're using your computer. You just
yeah
jump out. I don't think it's gonna. I don't see it having any kind of negative impact on it.
That's what I'm. I hope not.
I really don't see how it could. It's not like. It's not. I mean, yeah, sure. A Windows computer gets slower the longer you have it, but I don't know. I don't see that being an issue with the consoles. I will say, I've been reading a lot of like the Xbox One stuff. That's because that was released on the 22nd, and you know, hearing this, that, and the other thing, I hear a lot of people getting really excited about the ability to snap apps to the side of your screen while you're playing a game or watching TV through it. And for me, that just, I don't know. That's not something that I want.
Well, you know, there's people that want to see their Facebook at the top of the screen or whatever the entire time. And
I understand that there's
always going to be those people.
I don't understand that there's people that want that, but that's just like not, that's not a feature that interests me. And that just goes back to the message of the PlayStation 4 has been about games. From the very beginning, it's been about games. And the Xbox One has been about everything but games. And it's just weird. I mean,
it feels like a flip. The PlayStation 3, when it came out, felt like it was an entertainment system that also played games. And the Xbox was an Xbox, or the Xbox was a game system that they eventually added all this other stuff to. And this one, they almost feel flipped.
Yeah, the whole
PlayStation seems very more game-centric. Talk about the pain. I still can't believe what Xbox did, 2 days before their release, where they told people, oh, you're not going to be able to do the streaming.
Yeah, but that's coming. I mean,
it's coming, but you 2 days before this, like, they knew well before that it wasn't going to be in the launch. You, like, a week's notice, not 2 days. That just seems like really just asshole-ish behavior.
Well, I've heard that I read an article that some people were kind of I know there's people that are making a list of all their complaints with like the Xbox One. And Microsoft has seen the list and they said that they're going to address the issues that people are having and stuff like that. But there was a follow-up with that article about saying that the Xbox One was 6 months behind, like the OS was 6 months behind where Microsoft wanted it to be. And to me, that sounds like they released another Wii U.
Like, hey, we're going to release all this stuff. Eventually it will.
Yeah. And instead of waiting until it was fully baked, they were just kind of like, well, now we've got to get it out the door. So here it is. And all this stuff will come later. And that's not to say that Sony hasn't done the same thing. There was some features that Sony said was going to, like, they don't have the suspend resume stuff yet. That's absent from the system, and some other things are absent. I can't remember what they are, but for the most part, anything that has to do with gaming, like, works. Like the live streaming works, the posting videos to Facebook works. That said, there are some things, like the Xbox One actually allows you to actually save your video footage to the cloud, so you can actually pull it out and edit it yourself on your computer. Where there isn't a way to remove your recorded videos from the PlayStation 4 right now. You have to edit them all from inside the system itself. But that's fine. I'm pretty sure they'll end up, just like last generation, they'll end up with some feature parity there. But I was really happy when I started doing the streaming. I did find out that you could turn off the, there's this little, like, it does this picture-in-picture kind of thing where the right side of your screen is like your Twitch comments, so you can actually see what people are saying to you while you're playing the game.
That's kind of cool.
It is, but at the same time, when I first set it up, I was kind of like, I wouldn't want to play a game like this. Luckily, you can disable that, so you can get the entire screen to yourself while Twitch is still running. I honestly think the Twitch integration is probably my favorite thing so far. I remember I woke up on Thanksgiving. I got up earlier than my wife did. And I was just kind of like, you know, I don't feel like playing anything, because like I said, a lot of the games I have are all multiplayer based and nobody was able to play at that time. So I was like, I don't really feel like watching anything, but, or playing anything, but I'll, you know, see if anyone's actually playing anything. So I went on to Twitch, onto the Twitch website on my computer, and I started watching some guys playing Need for Speed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing it on the PS4, and he was inviting people to come play with him because he was like in a private room by himself. Mm-hmm. So I sent him a message in the chat. I said, "Hey, I can, you know, I'm booting mine up right now. I'll come play with you." And I sent him an invite and like a real name request. And I jumped in his game and we played around for like a couple hours. It was really interesting to see like another way of like social interaction. Like you don't just have to meet people in the game. It's like another way to meet people that are playing the same game as you.
Yeah, you can meet them on Twitch or whatever and be like, "Oh, yeah. I'll join your game, sure."
Yeah, exactly. And we pussed around on that for a little while. I'm friends with him. I met another guy on there too, that jumped in from his live stream.
Look at you making friends. So happy.
And these are actually it's the first.
It's like watching a little kid go off to school their first day and coming home saying how we met all these new friends.
It's the first set of new people I've added on either platform since like 2009.
Yeah.
That said, I haven't had any interaction with them outside of that. I accidentally sent one of them an invite to play Call of Duty with Danner and I the other day.
cancel that. I don't want you playing with this dickhead. If you're listening, dickhead, sorry that I called you a dickhead.
Need for Speed Rivals is another one of the games that I'm actually enjoying right now. It's kind of this amalgamation between Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, and Burnout Paradise. Where it's entirely open world and they give you like stunts to do and they want you to go off like big jumps and do all these crazy things. I've been having a lot of fun with that. And you guys talked about how, you know, Assassin's Creed has the tablet integration. And Battlefield 4 also has the tablet integration. They also have that for Need for Speed. It's called Overwatch. And you can, when you log on, you see like the entire map and you can see your friends as they're driving around and it tells you what they're doing. Like, are they in a chase? Are they pursuing somebody? And you can target them and you can do certain things. Like you can repair their car for them or you can refill their boost. Or you can be a dick and remove some of their special abilities.
Oh, that's always good. So you control your friends.
Well, you can, but you can also, it's not necessarily just your friends either. Like yesterday when I was at work, nobody was playing, but I could still see other people that were playing the game. So I was kind of like, well, I'm going to take away some of your power-ups and I'm going to give them to this guy over here. I was just like dinking around with it. And eventually you level up enough to where you can get, like you can call in roadblocks and helicopters, to help out, your friends. Those are really neat, but the whole system, it's really weird because the app functions the same way that like the free to play games do, where you have to spend 30 minutes. You have to give up 30 minutes of your time to earn more fuel because you spend fuel to like, you know, repair someone's car or any of those special abilities. They all cost a certain amount of fuel points. And eventually you end up either at the level up to refill your fuel gauge all the way, or you have to do like side missions that take you out of the action for about 30 minutes and then they give you like 25 fuel points. So it's kind of a bummer that it's like they limit you that way, especially when there's no way. It's weird that they have that in there when there's no way for you to like buy fuel. Like it's the freemium model, but without the ability to pay for anything.
So it's like you have to wait for it. Is there a way around it? Nope.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, bringing up the freemium and the free-to-play model, Danner and I have been talking about this when we've been playing Call of Duty Ghosts. I would not be surprised if, like, Treyarch's Call of Duty or the next one after that has some sort of freemium model to it. I don't know if Black Ops 2 had this, but they introduced squad points into Ghosts. So what happens is as you do certain things through like either leveling up or accomplishing certain challenges and stuff like that, you gain, not only do you level up through this stuff, but you also gain squad points. And squad points are used kind of like the money was in Black Ops, where you can like unlock your guns or your attachments.
Okay.
So you don't need to level up to use the guns. You can just buy them with squad points. Now, where I think the freemium model comes into play is when you go to pick your perks. The perks are either unlocked through like leveling. Like if you level up, you can unlock a perk, or you can unlock a perk early by spending squad points for it. So I can totally see them. Like I feel like on a subconscious level, they're tracking all that, or not on a subconscious level, but I feel like they're tracking all the information to see like who's willing to buy stuff early rather than earning it, to see if they can like assign like a real world currency to those squad points. And so like instead of earning them through play, maybe you pay $5 for like 50 squad points or something like that. And I know that sounds like a lot, but I'm just throwing numbers out there for like the next game. Like, you know, you spend $5, you get 50 squad points, and then you can, you know, you can unlock all the stuff that you want right from the get-go. I feel like something like that is coming, because again, it's like half of a freemium model, but I don't know. I'm really enjoying the system, and I'm looking forward to what's coming, though. Definitely looking forward to Second Son. So does anyone else have anything they want to add? Did Dana fall asleep?
Probably. I did not fall asleep.
He's an old man. He had to go change his colostomy bag.
No, whatever.
So, interesting thing. I didn't realize this until I saw this online. So, Titanfall is supposed to release in March. And that's a respawn game. Arthur Geese from Rebel FM and Polygon tweeted out that it would be kind of a dick move for Activision to start the Destiny beta
the same weekend.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Why not? I mean, they could.
I am looking forward to Destiny.
Destiny's going to be good.
So
if anybody wants to buy me a next-gen system for Christmas.
I think you're on your own for that one. Sorry.
The viewers don't like you that much.
If you buy me one, I will kill myself by next Christmas. There.
There's incentive for everybody listening.
All right. So
you buy me both systems, I'll do it on air.
I'll throw in some money.
Okay, you'll throw in a lot of money. Look.
So before we start rambling on and starting like a bunch of old coots, it's that time of year again where we're going to start compiling our 2013 game of the year lists. We would like to invite all the listeners to participate, much the same way they did with the Game of the Generation Award. The way we do it is all the hosts here will make a list. It will include the top five games of the generation, or not generation, but of 2013.
We've already done the generation thing.
Yeah. It'll be the top five games of 2013 that you've actually played. And we'll give all that information to Danner, and he will pick whichever one has, you know, whichever one is most frequent, is the one that will probably end up being the game of the year.
We'll do it a little bit differently this time and put them in one through five in the order, number one being your favorite, five being your least. Well, I mean, they're all your favorite of the year, but one's the best, five's the lowest, and I'll compile points based on the rankings you give it also, so it's a little more
even keel. So the lowest keel. Score wins?
Oh, my.
No.
Or no,
let's,
what am I?
Let's put it this way. When you choose your game that's number one, I'll give your number one game 5 points.
Oh, good. That's not going to confuse me at all.
Your number two game will be...
Two is going to get four.
Four. Three will get three. Two will get... I'm sorry. Four will get two.
He's already messed up. And five will get one.
And then... So regardless, rank them in the rank. The ranking matters. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Rank them and the ranking matters.
All right. So top five games and the ranking matters. It sounds like you're going to do what they did
for the
top 100.
Top 100. So
okay, yeah. All right. So that's,
I thought he was going to do what they did on like Whose Line Is It Anyway, where the show's made up and the points don't matter. Like, no. We'll pick whatever we want.
I'll pick whatever I want to win.
All right, now I'm going to start a grassroots campaign to get Saints Row 4 made the best game of the year. No, game of the year. I'll start making up things and send them to myself.
We don't allow reskin games from last year to be a participant in this year's game of the year.
Anyways, so yeah, that's how that's going to go. If you would like to submit your list or just talk with us about the PlayStation stuff here, you can get in touch with us. You can comment on our parent site at geekcastradio.com, or you can send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. If you're sending in your Game of the Year submission, just put off the cuff Game of the Year in the subject line and send that over to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter and on the PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. If you're on the PlayStation 4 and you friend me up, I will send you back a real name request because that's just awesome. Danner?
You can find me on Twitter
at fell asleep.
Art Danner, and you can find me on PlayStation Network at X51 The Machine Man.
Chauncey?
I've been Chauncey Brown, which is always better than Danner. You can find me on Twitter at Chauncey Brown. You can find me on Xbox Live still. At
By yourself.
Weapon 87. I'm holding strong, man. I'm holding strong.
Somebody's got to carry that Xbox, George.
All right, Danner, do we have a...
And we are missing co-host this week. How about we talk about him? Give his stuff out there. Joe Reed.
We don't give yours when you're not around.
Yeah,
sometimes you do. So you acknowledge my absence.
I acknowledge Joe's absence. I said he wasn't here to talk about Link to the Past.
We acknowledge how happy we are that you aren't here. I miss Joe though, but I got my Joe fix yesterday. So
all right, so that's it for Off the Cuff episode 38. Until next week. I am the great mighty Pooh, and I'm going to throw my shit at you.
I hate you so much. I love how Sean's all
I can't, like, come on, this is hysterical. I'm so glad I didn't have to say it. I would have started laughing and peed my pants by the time I said shit.
He called the poop shit.
He called the poo shit.
When you're right, you're right.
And when you're
I
wrong.
I know the man. When I'm wrong, I'm usually awake. Where it is. Anytime I'm breathing.
When you're wrong, you're really wrong. Okay.
When you're wrong, you're Saints Row 4.
that's wait till you see what my game of the year is going to be.
Saints Row 4.
And you will never be allowed on this podcast again.
I'll send flaming dog poop to your guys' houses.
Alright. Here we go. Can you find me a sign-off quote, Danny?
I'm working on it. We're not doing any viewer feedback?
No.
Screw those people.
No question this week?
Nah. I'm feeling kind of lazy.
Yeah, you sound lazy.
He's like, could. We're going to finish this up and go play my PlayStation.
Something like that.
You sound like a sad panda.
Me?
Yeah.
I took a decongestant earlier.
Better than a sexual harassment panda.
Sexual harassment panda.
Danner has two presents on the way to his house.
Yeah. Oh. I want to know what that means.
Ooh, John is on playing Need for Speed.
I got a good one for...
No, oh God, I can't believe that. I just looked at it.
What is this from?
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh, the giant poo monster. Come on, you don't remember that?
No,
how
I
do
never,
you not remember that?
I played the multiplayer where it was just some guy running around.
It was like axes versus
teddy bears.
Yeah, but still, how have you not heard of this?
All right.